Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Court of Swords post show here for episode 18. What do you guys think of your new characters?
Yeah, how do we feel about our new characters?
I like Volnok. He's neato. It was like I was just talking about right after we ended. It was nice to be able to actually like have a little bit more flexibility as far as RP and being able to do a different voice that wasn't just, it's fun. Yeah. But I also really like the interaction between all of us and the fact that we, have that celestial kind of tie together. I don't know. It was interesting seeing like people interact with us and the beginning, the dwarven lady, hitting on us. I mean, she could have just been a rather horny, dwarven lady, but she, took a particular liking to all of us and just that interaction and stuff was neat to see, but I'm enjoying Volnok. Are you guys liking yours?
I like being able to go into melee again. I haven't been able to go into melee in so long.
Melee's fun.
I only got to swing once, but I swung really hard and it felt good. Swing a melee weapon. But yeah, I like playing a paladin. It's kind of a much different take from Ramus. I'm good. I'm righteous. I'm not like a total dick to people like Ramus used to be.
Right. Did you use all of your big bad stuff today, Dan, or not really?
I used everything except my spell slots. I used my Lay on Hands and I used my Channel Divinity. Channel Divinity will come back after a short rest. But yeah, I don't.
Are you the build that has? Do you have Divine Smite?
Yeah,
it's part of your jam.
Yeah, if when I hit a target, I can choose to just do extra damage as Divine Smite.
Divine Smite is cool.
By expending a spell slot.
Quick question, not to like skip ahead or whatever. I don't know if it really matters, but when we were fighting those dudes, I asked about the dodge action and stuff.
So
in that fight, would it have been possible for me to have used my Flurry of Blows and Key Point like I did, and then just use a regular dodge action like I usually do?
No, I think.
How does that work?
What the key points do is they let you. Let me pull up the thing.
Because you guys keep saying I can do a dodge action as just a regular action.
So here's what happens. So in your turn, you get a move, you get an action. And you get a bonus action, right? Mm-hmm. The bonus action doesn't do anything on its own. You have to have, it's like an empty slot that your class fills with abilities.
Yeah.
And as a monk, your bonus action generally is used, if you don't spend a key point, bonus action is used to get an extra punch, right? So it's like sword, bonus action, punch. You can still move. That's your full turn. Okay. However, with key points, you're able to spend a point of key to trigger a flurry of blows, which means attack, punch, punch. So it's a third attack, which you've been doing. Spend a key point to use your bonus action to take a dodge, which is normally a full action. So you could be like move, attack, dodge if you spend a key point. Or you can move, take an action, spend a key point, disengage, or move again.
So if I the only way I would have been able to attack and dodge is if I just regular attacked and then used a key point for dodge.
Right. Or don't attack at all.
Yeah.
And just dodge. And that's just dodge,
move. Okay, so I played it the way I'm just trying to see if I made a mistake there, but I don't think I did because I was just trying to do damage because Dan was doing the tanking and it made no sense to do double dodge actions.
And something that came up, I noticed chat was talking about it. Your unarmored movement increases whatever speed you normally have. So when you go into flight mode, normally you have a 30-foot speed, but you're a monk, so it goes up to 40.
Okay.
So you can fly at 40 feet per turn if you need to when you spread wings.
But I didn't mean to derail. JP, what are you thinking of your character, of the fallen kind of evilish dude? Not evil, but
Yeah. I mean, I think mechanic wise, we were talking about, or I was starting to talk about it at the very end of the episode, and I've seen other warlocks played, and it was kind of like. And I talked with Adam about this. It's kind of Eldritch Blast the class. So I try to give as much utility, but you're kind of limited because you only have two spell slots.
Yeah.
Until like level 4 or 5 or something like that. So I have a shit ton of spells and cantrips and rituals and shit, but Eldritch Blast is still like the best thing that I can do.
Yeah, and
it's even buffed as well. It gets +3 damage from my charisma, so it's a D10 +3 buff.
That's definitely a trap warlocks in 5e can fall into. The like Eldritch Blast.
Yeah.
Do I Eldritch Blast or do I Eldritch Blast?
I mean, it's got some cool utility to it. Like, I have the light cantrip. I have a spell called Spare the Dying, so if anyone's down, I can just cast it, and you guys are saved. You don't have to make any save checks anymore for or death save throws anymore. You're just stabilized. So that's kind of nice because it's ranged. So, like, if that's what I was saying, Max, I could stabilize you from afar.
Yeah.
And also the I got two free rituals, Alarm and Find Familiar. And Find Familiar is, like, super fucking strong because I can use it to cast spells. I can use it to aid people. It was, like, pretty quintessential in that fight.
So, that was helpful to know that they were coming. I mean, we only ended up dealing, like, what, an extra 5 damage to one of the dudes just from my, like, sneak attack, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of fucked up. I wasted invisibility. Like, it was a complete waste because I just didn't know the rotation, basically, for the class. So I opened up with Hex, which is a bonus action.
Anytime you're playing, like, a new class, though, or something you haven't played before and you even don't have a whole lot of experience with, like, it. End up making kind of little mistakes here and there. Now, I was just kind of second-guessing some of the stuff that I was doing because I've played a monk before, but it was in Pathfinder. I know most of the rule sets are pretty similar, pretty comparable. But after playing, you know, like half-orc, big fighter bird guy, like, I'm just like, okay, wait a second. What should I actually be doing? You know, you kind of got to take a step back and be like, ah, shit, am I doing this right?
Yeah. So. I think RP-wise, this character is already more fleshed out than Gideon ever was.
Yeah.
Only because Gideon was... Like, Gideon's story was never told, and we started to see some RP from him during the live show, but, like, I'm not going to sit down and just be like, so, let me tell you about my story. Like, it just doesn't make sense to do that late in the campaign, so I kind of just played him as...
These characters feel to me like they have an intimacy that the other sets of characters that we've seen haven't. These ones, you all... Not necessarily are like doing the same job, but you're connected very tightly in a way that I think is interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's reflecting and giving.
It was fun arguing over the aftermath of pushing that dude's face in. I try not to do that fight, but I'm like, all right, well, this is either they're going to attack me drunkenly, or I'm like, I should probably take the advantage of, like, he doesn't see it coming, and, you know, pretend to, like, take a drink with him so I can get a little shot in first.
Right. Yeah, I was planning on doing the friend telepathy trick to him, but you killed him before I could even get down there and act. So I had to do it to his friend.
Well, I really wanted to, like, hold back to see until you guys got there, but I thought about it, and I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and, like, part of my character is, like, he despises anyone who does wrongdoing, poisons the world with evil and stuff like that. So these dudes have openly admitted in front of him that he, like, they murdered people and were laughing jovially about it. So he's just like, all right, he's dying. That's why I made the decision to kill him instead of just knock him out. Because I'm like, this guy needs to be purged, you know, from the world. That's what Volnak believes.
I like that you did that because it makes the story more interesting when characters make choices that you normally wouldn't. Like, if you're not playing the safe route, like, just doing something crazy that makes the dynamic more interesting between the characters.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think Adam's going to hold that over us as three goody two shoes, basically. Well, I'm not really good, but I have air of goodness.
For me, like, this party hits a story, like, theme stuff that I really like. Right? Like, I think about this stuff a lot in terms of, like, authority and characters. For me, characters that believe really strongly in something are the easiest to come up with cool content for, because I can be like, oh, you think that all evildoers should be punished, huh? Well, here's somebody evil you can't get at, or here's someone who did something that maybe is evil, but for a greater good. Are you going to go murder them? Like, positing those questions about the statement characters make is part of what's fun for me as a GM, to be able to be like, oh, really, you believe that, huh? What about now?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's really fun to do, for sure.
Yeah, I like the fact that me and Dan's character, and I guess me and Max as well, like, my character has, like, a forward facing character with the disguise, and then kind of another character behind closed doors. And Dan doesn't really agree with both of them, but publicly he can't really do anything. And behind closed doors, he can't really do anything. So there's always altercations there. And publicly with Volnak, like, you're kind of seen as, like, a noble servant. And behind closed doors, I'm just really nice to you. So, like, it's a fun there's like many facets to the character, which Gideon did not have whatsoever. So that's fun for me to RP with.
Yeah.
And I'll probably give him a voice. I just, my voice is so fucked up right now. I haven't.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's hard to come up with a cool voice when you're.
What's your voice, JP? I know you're sick, but what's your voice?
Your actual voice doesn't work.
Yeah, it's.
You should have just gone full on sick voice, and that's just his necrotic voice.
Ooh. That's what a lot of people are saying to do. Yeah.
The Mara makes you ill when it's inside you.
Yeah. And I also like the whole like. We didn't really go into it, and we won't hear, but where I draw my power from necessarily isn't necessarily the Mara, and like how that all works out is kind of fun.
Yeah, it's certainly more complex than just like I have demon powers. There's like other stuff going on, which is
cool. Yeah. I feel like you're gonna do what most people do, in the sense of warlocks always have like this weird thing that they have to abide by what they're. The person that gives them their power, or it gets stricken away. So I have to like sacrifice my friends, or it gets stricken away, or there's going to be something to pay. And that's that's in the book. Like they have stuff for that to occur.
Yeah, I think it's mostly right now. Like you're in servitude to a thing, and I always love this about, you know, the great old ones or the elder gods or whatever that they're. And that this was sort of key to like Lovecraft's whole jam is that they're unknowable and that the things that they want don't make sense to mortal minds. Right? Like that it might ask you to do things that just don't make any fucking sense. And it might be like big things like, oh, sacrifice your friends. But mostly it'll be like, you know, go and collect me 5 thumbs and place them in this urn. Why? Don't ask questions. I give you power. Do as I say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They operate on arcane rules and stuff that don't make sense to mortals, which I think is really fun. It can add a lot of kind of strange confusion to playing a warlock. And I like that a lot better than the kind of like Snidely Whiplash, like, I'm an evil warlock, you know, Ner'zhul kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's also fun playing like an angelic warlock because the teaching and like the history of the character knows to fucking ignore all that shit. Yeah. But the character also knows that that's where he gets his power from. So, like, I'm playing both sides, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah. There's only one source of true power, and it is the fountain. And you're like, yeah, except what about this other thing?
Right. And I could see, like, me and Dan's characters having a lot of clash there, which would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
I like the friction between us. It's cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's going to be the like Aragorn to your Boromir, right? Where you're like,
well, you even said like a Boromir comment that I saw Adam smile, and I was like, I got you. I understand what you're smiling at right there.
Yeah, right. Because that's the kind of key, and it's universal in fantasy fiction, but fiction generally, the like, well, we have to use the horrible thing against the more horrible foe so that we can, you know, do away with both forever. But in using the horrible thing, does that not make us as bad as our horrible foe? Like kind of ethical dilemma is always fun and interesting. So
I'm
to see where that's going to lead.
Definitely. And combat wise, like how do you think, are we good? This is more towards Max and Dan. Do you think, should we change anything? Like, I don't know. We kind of got fucked around today. I agree with what Dan said in terms of targeting the little guys, but we already put so much damage into her that I was maybe this is a waste of time. I don't know.
I think I did severely underwhelming damage using the flurry of blows. Like the flurry of blows
can be. You missed every flurry.
I know it can be. It's supposed to be so much more devastating, and that's why I was like, I used all of my key points and got pretty much nothing out of it.
Right.
I definitely think next time, like the ad should have gone down first because they have much lower health, and like some of those punches you're doing on her would have taken one of them out. And that's one less swing I have to take. And
it would have been just less people attacking.
Yeah. So with AC like as high as mine is, like the lower the number of attacks, the better a chance they have of surviving.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate her having so much HP as well. I that's why I kept going in with flurry of blows because I was going to be like, all right. Take her out and then, you know, use the rest of the attacks for the other dudes. And, you know, hopefully.
Yeah. Many boss type creatures have a lot more health than the others.
Yeah. I think it was just like since the first guy was. And you said, too, like just because the other guy was a leader doesn't mean he was strong or whatever. You know, leadership tendons or characteristics. Well,
often the strongest person isn't necessarily like the physically strongest person isn't necessarily the boss. He was just probably the smartest or most manipulative. And she was his like
muscle.
enforcer, yeah. And then he died, and nobody else was strong enough to keep her in check. So she ran the gang into the ground by chasing a vendetta, and now they're all dead.
Yeah, they're all dead.
That's what you get.
And I went down once and came back up. That was nice.
Yeah, I thought about the idea.
I was like, are you fucking serious? Are we going to have another fucking Wester on our
Yeah, I thought about the fact of you dying and that just being the end of your character, and me and Dan continuing on next week into whatever, getting captured or whatever the fuck happens.
I'm called Volnok, Volnok's brother.
Yeah.
Volnarg.
Yeah, you could. Are you leaning any one way right now, Max? Berg or Volnok? Still too early to tell.
I think it's still too early to tell. I know Berg's like, seems like a lot of people like Berg and, you know, in the viewership, but Volnok for me right now is just so much more interesting to roleplay. And he's, of course, you know, got much better stats. So I think if his character develops more and the chat seems to really like him, it seems like they like him. So if that persists and, you know, this dynamic between the three of us keeps getting stronger and more interesting, I think maybe I'll lean towards Volnok. That doesn't mean that I won't play Berg, like to maybe just play, even if it's just to play out that dungeon thing and just see what happens, if possible. But yeah, I mean, I could go either way right now. I think Volnok maybe a little bit, just because it allows me more opportunity to do a little bit more RP wise and also just stats wise.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for, Dan, are you liking your paladin more than your cleric? You said you were enjoying getting back in the front lines.
Yeah. I pretty much did today what I did during the whole last part of that episode, just dodge. Hopefully there's more fights with less enemies so I can attack more, because right now I feel like I had to be the tank. I had to take all the blows or everyone's going to die. So, but yeah, I like the paladin, but it's kind of limiting when you have to be the tank. We have a fourth person that could be another target for people to take pressure.
What's your AC?
It's 16 when I have my two-handed, and then 18 if I pull out the shield. But then I can't attack.
Yeah. That was I actually really like that, like, I'm going to hold on to my sword. I'm going to use my shield. I know I can't use the sword, but, like, just having a shield around to go into full defense turtle is, like, such a good move. Like, I've said this a ton of times, but, like, the speed at which you've picked up, like, D&D expertise is, like, startles me every time. Where I'm like, that's a really smart move. Good. That's nice. Advanced tactics. Good job, Dan.
Yeah. I mean, it's
awesome. Really cool watching that happen.
I made that joke, like, imagine if we knew the fucking rules in week one. Like, we would have laid down across the bridge because they would have had fucking disadvantage on ranged attacks. We would have dodged. We wouldn't have died. We would have thought, hey, this is not so bad. We could probably go fucking attack the necromancer. Like, that would have been a realistic thing that could have happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If only we knew now then what we know now.
Yeah. Right. And I also think that help thing is, like, super strong.
Oh, yeah. Getting advantage is always huge.
Yeah. Because, that's the free action for me, that I can just, like, give advantage to someone once every round, basically. And if I keep it on a flying creature, it's pretty easy to move from thing to thing. So, So we'll see. I don't know. I just hope my character eventually becomes not Eldritch Blast the class. But
right,
we'll probably have a few, a lot of episodes till that happens, because 2,700 XP is kind of far away. So,
yeah.
We shall see.
I got 25 XP more.
You did.
Yeah.
Good you man. Also got 580 on Berg.
Yep.
So what's he at? Like 14 something?
Yeah, I think he, let me look real quick. He is at, actually, he's at 1675 of 21, of 27.
Oh, so you're 1,000 off.
Mm-hmm.
That's not so bad.
No.
And I think XP also will start to increase as we start fighting more difficult encounter or CR levels of our level, right?
Yeah,
that number gets bigger. Totally. So cool. All right, that'll do it. I'm gonna go do blades and give my voice a rest. So we'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Bye-bye. See you guys.